giving a signal. I'm not sure what it means. Are we good? Okay. Okay, the text from Hosea today is a weird one because the Lord tells Hosea to go and take a prostitute as a wife to demonstrate to the people of Israel their unfaithfulness. This is the first chapter, the first few verses. It gets weirder from there. But it's important, too. So hear this word from the Lord as it comes to us from the prophet Hosea in the first chapter. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go and take for yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibilaham, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. And then the Lord said to her, "Name her Lo-Ruhamah." I don't know. That's Hebrew, whatever. But here's what it means. "For I will no longer have pity on the house of Israel or forgive them." He named his kids, "Have no pity." And you're okay, Keith. "Have no pity." And wait till you get this one. "But I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. And I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horse or by horseman." And when she weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. And then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of people Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can be neither measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Children of the living God.'" And then we move today, moving through the Gospel of Luke, to Luke chapter 11. In case you wonder where the Lord's Prayer came from, this is the place. And it sounds like this. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, Don't bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I was gifted some special training this week from a local church. They invited me to come and be a part of what they were doing, and they had a guest who is a marvelous preaching pastor. He has 6 campuses with his church and has started 5 other church plants in his work in the Boston area in New England, where people don't go to church. And one of the things he said was, you know, we always put these taglines in our sermons because people don't remember sermons. And I thought to myself, people don't remember sermons. That's the face I was making. People don't remember sermons. Are you kidding? Why are we doing this then if people don't remember sermons? And as I was preparing for this week, I remembered a sermon from my childhood. And it was a sermon that went like this. Now, you remember the toy phones that Fisher-Price used to make and now make as a retro item? Right? They had the dial that went like... You maybe don't know this. Phones used to have dials that went around like this.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm just teasing. Don't go home mad. So this toy phone had this googly eyes and this rotary dial, and I remember the pastor sitting like this in a children's sermon with this phone, and he says, what is this? How does it work? And of course, we all go, you pick it up and you dial and you talk. Hello? And he says, and then what do? And just about every kid to a person hung it up. Now, I know this trick because in Nebraska, there were farmers who only thought their cell phones called out. Their wives would try to call them. They'd lose their phone, and they'd drive through the field and try to call the phone. Nothing. Because they'd turn it off if they weren't calling out. But that's not the way a phone works. Phone is a two-way communication. And so the point of the whole thing was, when you're on the phone and you're talking, you don't just talk and then hang up. You pick it up and you listen to what's going on, because somebody has something to say to you. And the point of that sermon, of course, was that that's how prayer is. It's a communication between you and God. You talk, God listens. You listen, God talks. Oftentimes in prayer, we forget that. Especially if we're people who only pray when the bills aren't getting paid, or when somebody's in the hospital, or when we desperately need God's presence because something in life has once again gone wrong. But that's not the way it's supposed to work. And today's text are a lovely example of that. This notion that you ask and seek and find is a tremendous thing. And one of the things one of my pastors always says is, one of the reasons we don't receive the kinds of things from prayer we think we should is because we don't ask boldly enough. So there is that part of prayer that we must ask. But you know the song, right? We should have had Alan sing today. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers, right? That was the worst Garth Brooks impression you'll ever hear in your life. But you know the song, right? It's a song about, it's a country song, it's very famous, Garth Brooks. And it starts out saying, I met my old girlfriend at the county fair, and I remember I wanted nothing but to have a life with her. And then I looked around and saw my beautiful wife, and realize, thank you, Lord, for unanswered prayers, because I don't really want to be with her. I want to be with the one I'm with. See, here's the thing about the prayers that we offer in petition to God. God can answer them in one of 3 ways. God can say yes. God can say no. Or God can say, wait. And that one's always the hardest, isn't it? Every sermon I read on this text today said we should remember that the most famous prayers where God said no were the prayers of Jesus and the prayers of Paul. Paul said, Lord, let this thorn be taken from my flesh. The Lord answered, no. People will see me through your weakness. Jesus said, Lord, let this cup be taken from me. The Lord said, no. Because through Jesus' death, salvation would come to all humankind. God can say no. God can say yes. God can say wait. But here's the thing about this text today, that it reminds us that in the midst of whatever answer God is giving, that we are to be persistent in our prayer. And that maybe is the hardest thing. When someone tells you to wait, it's very easy to just go, I'm not waiting, I'm done. Never say another prayer, never think another word about it. Just think God isn't really there for you and doesn't really have a concern in whatever your concern is. Today's text tells us something different. There's a great story about a pastor who went to help his neighbor paint his house. And the neighbor had an obnoxious little dog who would stand at the back door all day long and go, yep, 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 yep. So somebody would come and let him out. And usually when the owner was home and the preacher and the owner were painting together, the dog would yap, yap, yap. And the owner would go and let him out, and he'd get what he wanted. The day the preacher was painting on his own, the dog stood at the door all day and went, yap, 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 yap. Persistent little sucker. Didn't get what he wanted, but nonetheless kept on making an effort to do that. And here's what happened. The dog that the preacher usually ignored developed a relationship with that pastor. Because the dog would yap and the pastor would go over and try to talk to the dog. Then he'd go back to painting. The dog would yap some more. And they developed this rapport, see? The thing about persistent prayer is that it constantly is putting you in the presence of God. That cannot help but increase your relationship with the Holy. See, we pray because we think we want something. We want to get something. We need something. And all of that is true. But what we really need is to be in the presence of God. There is a very, very famous 17th century saint called Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. Brother Lawrence was an interesting guy. He was a failure at everything he'd done in the secular world, and so he decided to become a monk. And he went to the monk house, and the monks, you know, were very studious and wanted him to be an academic, and he didn't have the patience and the persistence to do the work. And so they sent him to the kitchen to be the cook. Part of what was going on there was that there were very rigid times of the day when very particular prayers had to be prayed, and it almost became like a formula, like a magic show, that these were the things you had to do to connect with God and to get from God what you wanted, and there were only those ways to pray. And Brother Lawrence had no patience for it. But Brother Lawrence, I will remind you, is a 17th century saint who we remember this day because what he had was persistence, not in the ritual, but in the relationship he had with God, in his constant state of prayer. And one of the things Brother Lawrence said was, don't bother yourself with rules of private devotion, but get used to gradually offering God your heart whenever you can. It's through persistence in prayer that we gain intimacy with God. Effective prayer is consistent and continually connected with the holy. This is Brother Lawrence again. The holiest, most ordinary, and most necessary practice of spiritual life is the presence of God. It is to take delight in and become accustomed to his divine company, speaking humbly and conversing lovingly with God at all times, in every moment, without rule or measure, especially in times of temptation, suffering, aridity, weariness, and even infidelity and sin. Brother Lawrence goes on to say that prayer is actually attempting the impossible because our attempt is to move as close to God as possible, which is in and of itself impossible. It is in and of itself a miracle. It is in and of itself remarkable. But if we only pause to pray when we're in need, if we only pause to pray on a Sunday morning, if we only pause to pray in short little bursts when what we're all about is ourselves and not our God, we will miss the opportunity that persistence in prayer allows us to have, a continual and intimate relationship with the holy. Friends, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. Thanks be to God. Amen.